session.
Would you like to try one of our new ground meat in the crust pizzas?
Ground meat in the crust?
Yeah, it's our regular pan-style pizza, but after it's baked, we inject the crust with raw ground meat.
No.
Welcome to intermission. Yeah, intermission.
So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the new.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Les, I got a new microphone this week.
Hey, Doc, I think that's wonderful.
Does it sound good?
It sounds quieter.
It does?
There's not a lot of... I mean, I can hear you okay, but there's not a lot of volume, and not as much volume as there was before we went on the air. Don't work on it now.
I'm pretty loud.
Work on it later.
I'm pretty loud in my own ear, so I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe my headphones are up too loud.
You could work on it later.
Absolutely will. We got a great show for you guys tonight. Of course, it is the first show of December. It's December 5th today, and we've got Chris Nowinski. He's going to be on the program tonight. He's got a new book out. It's called Head Games.
Hey, Chris was in the first Tough Enough. He was runner-up to Maven, and they both spent time with me in HWA.
Yes.
And we'll get into more detail about that with Chris when we get him on the show. You know, honestly, I guess the ongoing biggest news... is Paul Heyman being sent home?
Yes. The biggest news of the week. Yesterday, it seems that, ECW's pay-per-view didn't go so well on Sunday.
I thought, well, you know what? I didn't spend the 4-0, thank God. From what I've heard, talked to people, read on the internet, it was a disaster.
I did manage to catch it. I'm not going to say I paid for it, but I did manage to catch it with some friends. Wow.
You saw it.
Wow, yeah. It was pretty bad.
It was bad. Well, you know, I didn't expect it to be strong, but it's just that. Now, again, you know what? A lot of the stuff, and, you know, I politics, and I know from, like I say, listening to some audio reports, reading some reports, everyone was incensed that Sabu was taken out before the main event.
Yes.
But I, from what I understand, that had been planned in advance. That wasn't just a last minute deal. And that, you know, or Punk was the first guy out, which again incensed a lot of people. I say a lot of people, with me, truthfully, the jury's still out because having worked on the inside, I understand that they may be looking at something long term that obviously we don't know about, and there's a reasoning behind that, you know. So I don't know. What I have heard is they're a little disenchanted with Sabu. For what reason? I guess because he doesn't have the intensity that they want from him. And of course, as if you've watched Sabu, and I don't mean this as any disrespect to Terry, he's put his body on the line for a lot of years. But like Van Damme, he's limited to a particular type of match.
Right.
You know. And so, which doesn't, and if, you know, any young guys that are aspiring wrestlers or are currently in the indies, man, you want to broaden your horizons as much as you can, because this is the type of thing, you know, that can possibly happen. And it was Big Show's last night on the pay-per-view. Well, I say his last night for a while, forever, I don't know. I will say this, Paul really stepped up when he went to ECW and busted his hump. To do the best he could do.
Yeah.
And so he's deserving of the rest, and I guess his knees and whatever is affecting him, you know. And you got to realize, a guy that size, if he's got bad... I mean, I see Ernie Ladd at the reunions, and Ernie wasn't near the weight that Paul... Ernie's like 6'9", and probably, I don't know what he weighs now, but, you know, in his prime, probably 3'10".
Yeah.
When he played football with the Chiefs and wrestled, and but he his knees went bad, and man, it's just getting around. It's just horrible for him. So if Show's done for as far as a career, realize he's one of the highest paid guys in the company.
Yeah, he signed a huge.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's taking care of it. And so if he's, you know, I say if you know, and that's the other thing. It's, I hate hearing this. You sold out. This is a business.
Right.
And it's about making, and it's a kind of business, kind of like NASCAR or football or anything else. It'd be really cool to get out with your health, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys don't. So if he's able to do that at an early age, I'm up with that, man. I'm really up with that. But back to the Heyman thing, wow.
Well, it seems that it seems that Paul Heyman was really upset with the booking of the ECW pay-per-view on Sunday, and was very vocal about it backstage during the show and after the show, and the next day seemed pretty depressed about it. They had a meeting with Vince McMahon. The meeting didn't go too well. First he was taken off the creative team, and then he pretty much just picked up his things and left.
Well, he was told to go home, and of course there, it's semi. I guess on the WWE website, everything is semi shoot work,
right?
And you're not sure what anything is, but apparently they're saying due to sagging ratings and disenchanted roster. Well, here's another thing. You know, something I told kids that I've trained since I began the training people. Not just in our business, in a lot of businesses, there are people from varying walks of life, religion, backgrounds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in this business, one of my favorite sayings and analogies is, listen, if the devil can work, you work with the devil. That doesn't mean you sleep in his bed or eat at his table.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And to me, Paul has I think he's smart enough. Not, you know, everybody's saying, well, it's not the old ECW. No, it's not. No, nor will it ever be. But I think he's smart enough to take it. You know, he's got that kind of passion for it. And to me, my friend Jimmy Cornette might be mad at me for saying it. He and Corny are a lot alike in as much as they will fight for what they believe in. I mean, when I say fight, I don't mean physically, but vocally.
Right.
And quite frankly, they're both extremely creative and two of the best creative minds in the business. And to me, I would rather have them challenge me verbally or fight for what they want and have them on my team.
Right.
You know? Sadly enough, at this moment, neither one of them are involved in anybody's creative. And which makes me scratch my head and wonder, where are we going with all this? But anyway,
it's pretty wrong.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the deal. And I've heard all, you know, talked to a few people, did they release Paul? Probably not. How long his contract has to run, I don't have a clue. Would TNA be interested? I would guess, although I'm not sure he and Russo would coexist. And I don't know what his deal is with Angle, because, you know, Angle's got quite a bit of power down there, at least for the time being.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, these are things that, you know, the political things behind the scene that you've got to take in consideration. Paul, you know, like I say, he may go in other directions. I know I've heard over the years that he's had a desire to try movies or other projects, and he may do that. He may step away from the business. It's hard to say, but I don't think his contract was torn up yesterday, simply because they're not going to feed him to the enemy if that's the case. You know?
Right. It wouldn't be the first time either. They paid him to sit at home just so he wouldn't work somewhere
else. Well, sure.
And that's probably what's going to happen.
Well, and you know what? It's not even the guys who they consider to be important in the overall scheme of things. And when I say that, everybody on the roster has their importance, just relevant to whatever it is, how they're used and what they do. But, when some of my developmental kids were released, they had to sit out their 90 days.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like WWE was afraid that they were going to the WCW and draw millions of dollars. It was just that's the way it was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting. Tonight, I guess, will be the first show that doesn't have some of Paul's fingerprints on it, although I would assume that part of this whole confrontation came about in terms of he didn't have enough of that,
right.
Enough input.
Absolutely.
So,
sagging ratings and a distraught roster has nothing to do with Paul Heyman, in my opinion.
Well, I don't, you know, and here's the other thing. You know, we talk about good locker rooms, bad locker rooms. There's always, somebody's always disenchanted. I've never been in a locker room where somebody, you know, didn't want a bigger push,
right.
Or money. Didn't want to look at the lights as all. I mean, that's the nature of the beast. You're going to realize professional athletics, professional entertainment, and we're a combination of both. Ego plays an important part. Chad Johnson, the wideout for the Bengals, wouldn't be Chad Johnson if he didn't have an ego.
Right.
Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, if he didn't have an ego, wouldn't have learned to dance so well and won Dancing with the Stars.
Randy Orton.
yeah. But, I mean, you know, everybody has an ego. Everybody wants to succeed and leave their mark, you know.
Right.
So, and you know, here's the crazy thing. I've seen guys, well, you know, we had Bill Watts on a while back, and we were talking about Atlanta, where I worked with him. NWA Atlanta during the war of Atlanta in 73, 74. But at one time, Leo Garibaldi, who to me was one of my strongest mentors in terms of he was the booker, but they were at odds almost constantly, but it was creative odds, and it was productive because they both arose to the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were challenging one another, and what did that do? Well, it might have give them a few headaches, but it sure made a lot of money for the rest of us, you know?
Yeah.
And to me, that's a good thing. When I had my little company, if you'd paid some dues, some kid had been there 15 minutes, I wasn't going to put up with him challenging. But, you know, I didn't have a problem with somebody like Matt Stryker or Nigel or Cody Hawk coming to me and saying, or D.O. Brown, you know, when I had the developmental, or guys like that saying, hey, do you think would this be a better idea? Because to me, I just stop and think, well, let's see, maybe it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, man, that to me, that's what it's all about. When I mentioned Leo Garibaldi, there was a booker that if you gave him an idea, he'd jump on it and he'd say, hey, it's a great idea, and he would give you credit for it. I have known some creative people that you would go to them with an idea, and they'd say, well, I don't know, we use that right now. And then 2 weeks later, you'd hear them pitching that same idea to somebody else as though they had come up with it.
Absolutely,
right.
Yes.
But anyway, Heyman was, whatever, a very valuable person to have in your organization. And you know, that's tyranny and all that is fine, I guess, in your kingdom. But I don't know. To me, it's again, I'm glad I didn't spend the $40 on Sunday night.
Yeah. But what does it say for the state of wrestling when Paul Heyman's vision is passé? You know what I mean?
Well, you know, let me say, you know, but everybody, there's a fact. Everybody burns out to a certain degree. The greatest booker, I mentioned Leo Garibaldi. Leo is limited, and when I say limited, whether it by years, some bookers are limited by months. So, I mean, some you may come up with an idea and be able to add to it and build a program for a few months, but then you may dry up or go back and try the same thing over. Mm-hmm. I think one of the problems today with a lot of these guys who have never actually worked in the ring is that they see something work and they keep going back to that same something. And that's not, I mean, sometimes a lot of it's by accident. You know, everyone talks about ECW, and of course, 10 years from now, it'll be even a bigger mystical thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was an accident. When I say an accident, I mean, Paul had a vision, you know, Todd Gordon, all those guys had a vision, but, and they worked hard at it, but they didn't know what it was going to what was going to transpire before it did.
Right.
So to say, well, we'll go back and do the same thing over, maybe not. It's a different time and a different place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it might not even work. So I'm not saying Paul's not creative. I'm just saying that in one given situation, the well runs dry. You know, you need a break or go someplace else. I've known guys to book in different territories, but. Well, it's like a manager. You can always figure a manager in baseball or football, head football coach in the NFL, are going to end up being fired or leaving that team at some point in time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, has there ever been a time that has not happened?
No.
You know, with the except maybe Paul Brown, who started the Cleveland Browns and then came down here and started the Bengals and then passed away still with the organization that he owned. But, I mean, yeah, so, you know, it's just always been the same with bookers. And, you know, you always figured, well, this guy's a good booker, but he's got to run, and whatever that length of that run's going to be. So, you know, he may surface with somebody else. I don't know. We've had Gabe Sapolsky from Ring of Honor on. He was Gabe's mentor,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure Gabe would like to. You know, now I don't think at the age Paul's at now, or in the comfort zone that he's interested in going back and you know, being Paul Lee Dangerously and managing again. I don't think that's an option. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think that's an option for him.
Right.
But I think this is a pretty shocking development, and I would think that a lot of the guys in the company, or at least those working for ECW, will be a little disenchanted with this, you know?
I'd say more than a little, but...
Well, you know, it'll be at varying degrees, depending on who you are and what you are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, it's you know, it's an important move, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Moving on to some TNA news, pretty much the only TNA news that happened all week. But TNA stars BG and Kip James, the Voodoo Kin Mafia, made an appearance at a Raw House show in Knoxville, Tennessee. On
I know. You know what? And I can. That's the building we ran in consistently, Knoxville Civic Coliseum. And a good friend of mine is the general manager of the Coliseum.
Uh-oh.
And I'm sure Bob was, I won't say distressed, but a little uptight about, well, what's going to happen here and what. And you know what? You ever heard the saying, leave sleeping dogs lie and don't wake the sleeping giant?
Yeah.
that's what I see here. It's useless. It's semi-entertaining, and you know, I like, and Kip and Brian, I have known since he's a baby. Brian, you know, the Armstrongs are like family to me. But it's, you're bouncing your head off a wall. It's not going anyplace.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the other part is, If you upset Vince, he's going to spend a lot of money to come back at you, and I don't think that's the name of the game.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
And you've got a more sophisticated audience today. When DX did that years ago, no one was sure what to expect. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They weren't, they you know, so it was had more of an impact.
It was new. It was
fresh. Yeah, and it had more of an impact. But they also know... You know, it's not like some of the WWE guys are going to end up on TNA in a big challenge or an invasion. It's not going to happen.
Right.
You know, so, like I say, it's semi-entertaining in as much as it's amusing to a little bit. I thought the whole part where Brian said, come out with your pants up, you know, I thought, yeah, that, I mean, you know, that was funny.
Yeah.
You know, but again, when you've only got the hour, it should be more productive than that, you know, and I just think it's counterproductive. And you can say it, you know, a lot of people say it's old school, but I was talking about Atlanta. Bill Watts thought it would be clever. Ray Candy, who is African-American, got married in Savannah at the matches there, he wanted Gordon and I, Bill, in a play on words, to say that Ann Gunkel married Ray Candy in Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, like you would say, you married your daughter, right? Meaning
right.
You gave her away. But and Gordon and I almost simultaneously said, no, don't think so.
Right.
Do that. Well, first of all, in that atmosphere in 1973, it just would have created the wrong kind of heat, I think, to start with. But the other part is, why talk about the opposition? You're calling attention for that, you know, and why? Again, you're not going to, it's, you know, to me, it's like this. If you have outraced me, if we're on the 50-yard dash and you've beat me by 0.2 seconds, instead of standing around belly aching and saying, Doc's this and Doc's that, why don't I go out and try to outrun you? You know, why don't, just put on a better show. That's, to me, that makes more sense.
I see it this way. It's not like people, wrestling fans, aren't going to know what WWE is. I can see TNA mentioning WWE. I also see why WWE is not mentioning TNA on the show.
Well, sure.
Because when BG and Kip went to the house show and they started talking to fans outside the building while they were buying tickets, a lot of them didn't know what TNA was.
Yeah.
This could be, in my opinion, the whole point of doing this. It's like, hey, here we are, too.
Well, you know, but here's the, now, you know, along those same lines, I understand that Spike and the owners and the officers of TNA are pretty happy with the 1 point rating that they've got in the 9 o'clock slot.
Yeah, which makes me laugh, but.
Well, you know, but see, that's the thing, and here's the other thing. Angle goes over there and he says, you know, we're going to be competitive with WWE. Well, what else can he say?
Right.
Are they going to be not anytime soon? And when I say that, I don't mean that in a disrespectful way to the owners, to the athletes. It's just not going to happen. You got to realize that WWE has been on the forefront of professional wrestling for how many years now? Since they went national, what, in 84?
83.
83, okay. And you know, they've got that many years head start on anybody else.
Right.
And they're so established.
That's a lot of years.
And they're so established. So it's not, you know, and it's like somebody said to me, well, you think Paul may try to start another promotion? I said, listen, unless he knows somebody with tens of millions of dollars that they don't have any use for, no.
Right.
Because that, I mean, when people talk about competing with WWE, believe me, unless your name's Ted Turner or Donald Trump or somebody like that, and you're willing to throw a lot of money down an empty well for a few years, the answer is no.
Right.
You're not going to compete.
Which is what WCW did. How many years did WCW actually make money?
Well, you know, it before the big TV run, WCW did. I mean, that was Georgia Championship Wrestling. That was good territory,
right?
At one time, and the tours that we ran up here off, you know, off of that TV in 82 and 83 when I was a road agent. We had a successful run. Small towns, big towns, because. You know, it was hot off the cable.
They made money at that time. I'm talking about the national.
They hit it, and they had a block of time that they beat. They made money after WWE actually overtook them in the ratings on Monday night.
Yeah.
Before it all fell apart, but that was just poor foresight. You know, poor foresight, poor booking, and just bad politics across the board.
Yeah,
you know, we can sit here and blame Eric Bischoff, we can blame Vince Russo, we can blame people in management of Turner behind the scenes. We can blame a lot of people, but whatever the case, it was done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the big thing. So it's nobody's going to compete with Vince right now, and I just don't see TNA's the value in what they're doing.
Yeah,
I really don't.
Next up, and I know you're interested in this story because I know it's close to your heart, but WWE.com has confirmed last week that Raw diva Candice Michelle was scheduled to have no surgery on Thursday.
Oh, well, yes, it is near and dear to my heart.
Yes.
Well, actually closer to my mouth than my nose.
According to the article, she had a deviated septum, which happened during the Diva Battle Royal on Raw when Victoria kicked her in the face. Immediately, you could see it was apparent. She was hurt. She had immediately covered her face. There's no word yet on when she'll return or how successful the surgery actually was, so we'll have to keep tuning in. And,
well, you mean she may have been ugly? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
It's possible. You don't know.
Doc, I will say this, and I don't know whose call it was. Well, ultimately Vince's or Stephanie's, whoever. What they're doing with Victoria to get to Mickey James is smart business. Because, truthfully, right this moment in that crew on Raw, Mickey James and Victoria are the only two girls who can work.
Right.
Work with any decent amount of time and consistency and technique. And I think Victoria, having a pretty fair size advantage, what she's doing with the clipboard and the whole thing, I think it's good.
It's by the numbers.
You know, it's amazing that if you look back over the last few years, sometimes the girls who have less depth in terms of talent, there's never, at no time in recent memory can I think where there were six or seven girls deep that it could all work. Mm-hmm. You know, but anyway, point being is they come up with good storylines for them and. Sometimes the guys, it seems like it was, the storylines are an afterthought, you know, where they have more depth of talent, where they could probably get more mileage out of the same, similar, you know, type of storyline.
I agree.
WWE is, well, they're in Germany, I guess, today, and then they're going on to Iraq.
Yes, I was just about to get to that. According to USA Network's website, the December 18th episode of Monday Night Raw is going to be 3 hours and 5 minutes long.
That'll be the Iraqi deal, I guess.
Yes, this will be the most likely it'll be the Christmas with the Troops episode.
Right.
I'm only speculating.
Yeah.
But yeah, WWE headed overseas today. They're in Germany. But due to security reasons, the dates and locations of where they're going to be filming and where they're going to film the Iraq show is not going to be made public, of course.
Yeah, well, and you know, now, backing up to the ECW pay-per-view, a lot of people are distressed that Van Damme didn't win the title.
Right.
But I think, in part, this is the second year that he has said, no, I don't want to go to Iraq.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe this is an offhand way of slap on the wrist. I don't know.
I heard it had nothing to do with the fact that he, you know, what he thinks about the war or anything like that. He just thinks it's too dangerous is what I heard.
Well, you know, and here's the deal. Because of that, because of the danger, they can't pressure him to go.
Right.
You know, I think that's everybody's call. I don't think it's necessarily disrespectful. If you are uncomfortable with that, I think the people that go, I think that's great. I'm old enough to remember when Bob Hope used to take some good-looking movie star ladies and go over there and entertain. I used to always watch it on TV. So somebody's been entertaining the troops for years and years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's great. I think they deserve that. You know, but then again, I'm not going to spit on the people that don't go.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, it's just like, you know, you can't, you can say Ed Bradley got wounded in Vietnam as a reporter for CBS, and I think that's wonderful, but then you can't be mad at somebody that didn't.
Right.
You know, they can still be a good reporter, so it's Van Damme's call.
Yeah, I gotta say, and I'll tell everybody with no shame right on the show right here, if I was a wrestler, everybody was going to Iraq, I wouldn't go. I don't belong out there. I would not go.
Well, you know, that's, again, I think that's everybody's choice, You know, I think it's a great thing. I think it is a very, very good thing for them to do. It's obviously good. That's one of the major positives, for our business in general, every year for the last few years, is that their tours over there. I think, you know, it says good things, for professional wrestling and wrestlers in general. But again, you know, it's your call, and I think that's the way it should be.
Yes, and Vince has no fear because, once again, it gets him Sports Illustrated's Sportsman of the Year award.
Yeah, all right.
As reported by WWE.com last week, Vince McMahon is going to be the 2006 Sportsman of the Year.
Well, you know, I think without fear of contradiction here, Vince will have left some large fingerprints on the business when his time has passed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's any fear that we won't remember who he was.
Exactly.
If he decides not to do whatever, you know. Speaking of awards, James Laurinaitis, Animal, Road Warrior Animal's son, got the Bronco Nagurski award on Sunday. Now that is for the very best defensive college football player in the country.
Yes.
And he is the first sophomore in the history of that award to receive it.
Yes. He's got two great years with Ohio State left.
Yes, and man, we Buckeye fans are sure happy about that. And you know, it's kind of neat that the Nagurski, of course, Bronco Nagurski wrestled.
Really? No, I didn't know that.
You didn't? Are you serious?
Did not know that.
You don't know history of the business? Yes, Nagurski was world champion at one time.
Wow.
Yeah, he worked, I guess it was the 30s and 40s.
Maybe we could see James as a world champion one day. You know?
Well, I don't know. But yeah, Nagurski was a professional wrestler and with a big name.
Do you know what Laurinaitis is majoring in over there in Ohio?
I sure don't. Probably football.
Probably.
No, I really don't have it.
But yeah, I'd really love to get Animal on the show before the bowl season starts and talk about.
Well, it's going to be them in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of glad I was watching football on Sunday and Bradshaw and those guys, Jimmy Johnson and were saying that they preferred not to see Michigan and Ohio. So we've seen that, Michigan and Ohio State. I know a lot of the Michigan fans would like to see it again.
Right.
But I, you know, that BCS bowl thing is kind of goofy, but I do think that was a smart call because it wouldn't
draw as well.
No, I don't think so.
Interested.
And Michigan and Southern Cal will do well
mm-hmm.
in the Rose Bowl, and our Cincinnati Bearcats are going to a bowl in Toronto, of all places.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't even know they played a bowl in Canada. But, yes, the Bearcats are going to a bowl up there. I can't think of the name of it, quite frankly. But anyway, moving right along. What's up next?
It's probably the Cold Bowl, if it's in
the
Canada.
Cold Bowl. Okay. Well, you can play that right here in this country, man. It was, 16 degrees in Chicago on Sunday when the Bears played the Vikings.
Very cold, and everybody around here is getting sick.
Yeah, I know.
Luckily, I got my flu shot this year.
Well, you know what? We did, too.
I know. I know a couple people got the flu shot. Didn't matter, but I'm just crossing my fingers. I hate coming down with the flu or the cold.
Well, I you know what? During the change of seasons, I've had sinus problems since I was 12 years old, and so I always end up down for the count for a couple of days, usually when fall turns into winter, and then usually when winter turns into spring.
Right.
So, you know, I don't usually miss a chance to do something like that. I was talking to one of the people involved with the MTV project today. We can't, they are not talking publicly about it yet.
Are we allowed to say the name of the
well, project? I won't even do that for fear that he, you know, he might be chastised if it were to get out. And but anyway, he's a longtime friend and has been around the business quite a while, and he seems pretty positive about it. He's excited. So there's another, you know, it's going to be a little different, but you know, obviously a half hour show, they've got like 24 minutes of actual time. So the matches, well, he said that like on the, during the taping, some of those matches ran over, but they will be edited down,
mm-hmm.
Which means they're going to, well, they're in Hollywood, so you know, good editors shouldn't be hard to find.
Well, I hope they don't do it like the empty match arena between The Rock.
No. There's cold. People there.
Right.
There's people there. But
no, but I mean the different camera angles.
Oh, yeah. But he seems very positive and very upbeat and thinks it's going to be a long-term success. So I hope it is. It's going to keep some guys working, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what this is all about.
Let's take a break real quick, guys, and we've got some more news when we come back. Also, we're going to completely run down, and I don't mean run down in a bad way, but we'll probably be doing that anyway. But we're going to run down ECW's December to Disremember. And we'll be back right after this. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. It's Wrestling Weekly, guys. Hang around.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Wrestling-radio.com. The internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Hi, my name's Adam Nudelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nudelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Business Advances Web Hosting.
With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Here's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW!
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw!
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW!
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly, guys. On with the news.
Yeah, well, got to remind everybody, Chris Nowinski, one of the first contestants in Tough Enough, coming up in the second hour.
Yes.
And now we are going to not tear down, but break down the ECW pay-per-view.
Well, we got a few more news items.
Okay, cool.
And then we'll talk about the pay-per-view.
All right.
But Reuters News Service is reporting that Indonesia's Broadcasting Commission is trying to get SmackDown banned in the country after the investigation into the death of a 9-year-old boy who allegedly died as a result of doing moves he saw on the show.
Now, I heard that it was some older kids that did things to him.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It says the child who resided in Bandung suffered blows to his body in October, died a month later. Autopsy is yet to be performed. Nothing conclusive has been decided, but the country is trying to get SmackDown banned anyway. WWE gave out an official response, and it goes something like this. The father of a 9-year-old boy claimed that three 15-year-old boys beat up his 9-year-old son practicing the quote-unquote SmackDown game.
Man, they're pretty tough, aren't they?
Yeah. And the boy died 1 month later. The chief of the detective bureau charged with investigating the nature of the child's death specifically has stated in the media there is no reason to believe the death of this child had anything to do with watching wrestling. The police did note an autopsy was forbidden by the child's family for religious reasons, so as a result, the police have indicated the media, because there is no permission to conduct the autopsy, they are asking for the child's medical records from the hospital and trying to get to the bottom of exactly what happened with this. Sounds to me like a kid got beat up.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not in. I mean, you know, rock and roll is the devil's workshop and all that. I mean, that's. And here's some. I think whatever you watch or don't watch, you are predisposed to do whatever it is you're doing because of your nature, because of a chemical imbalance. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know. But I don't think that anything like I you know, guys play certain kind of music, athletes play certain kind of music to get psyched up for a game. But it's never this. But I can guarantee you that it's not a locker room all playing the same song.
Right.
You know, it's different. Well, and then where was it that the was it Mennonites? where the guy killed the kids in the school.
Yeah, the Amish.
The Amish, yeah. It wasn't Mennonites, Amish, which are...
basically the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what do we blame that on?
Yeah.
You know, these people live without the luxuries of that we have. I mean, when I say luxuries, electricity, television, so forth, you know, and are very religious, and yet here, you know, so what do we blame that on? Him watching wrestling?
Yeah.
Do we blame it on rock and roll? You know, it's just, he was obviously predisposed mentally, or again, is it a chemical imbalance to do that? So it's just, but the ban that from the whole country just seems, that seems a bit of overkill.
Yeah, Indonesia is a backwards country anyway.
Well, you know, never been there.
I haven't either.
Oh, you know, I thought maybe in your travels you had.
I'm just being smug right now.
I understand.
Shannon Moore, people haven't seen him much on ECW, but he hasn't been used much in recent weeks. But the belief internally is that Shannon has asked for some time off as he opened a new tattoo parlor in North Carolina. Moore owns the store, but he's not a tattoo artist. He's just, you know, pretty much bankrolling these guys.
Well, let me tell you this. He is learning to do tattoos.
Yes. When he came on the show not too long ago and told us that.
Well, I'm trying to think when this was, but a couple years ago when they were in town, and, you know, Shannon spent a year with me, and he had the sleeve.
Yes.
Tattoo. And I said, what is it? He said, well, I'm going to learn to do it myself, and that's something I want to do down the road. Which is cool if you're into that, I guess. I'm not into needles of any kind. I'll tell you the truth. I loved his work for me. He worked hard. But to me, I don't like the gimmick, and it's not because I'm adverse to punk rock or anything of the sort, although I'm not a huge fan. That's not the idea. I just think Shannon, because of his looking more youthful than he really is, just makes a much better white meat baby face. And when I say white meat, I don't mean that. That's just an expression within the business, meaning a baby face that is easy to get sympathy. Mm-hmm. You know, when the heels beat him up. So we started him off as a heel, obviously, because when the WCW guys came in, we did an invasion thing in HWA. But then when we switched him, he ended up being a baby face and got over well. Well, you know, he was a babyface in WCW with 3 count. They got over strong.
So. Yeah. And Shannon Moore's gimmick, I don't know, it just sort of reminds me too much of Raven.
Raven. Well, you know, we were talking earlier about things work at a certain time in a certain place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just like right now, well, major, you know, TNA too, I won't pinpoint anything in particular, but both companies are doing things for some sort of a shock value that they did 10 years, that was done 10 years ago or 5 years or whatever, and it's not shocking, you know, because I remember seeing Easy Rider for the first time. Have you ever seen Easy Rider?
No.
Okay. Peter Fonda. Anyway, the F word was used.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack Nicholson was, this is what made Jack Nicholson, then they smoked a joint.
Right.
And that was shocking in 1969.
Yeah.
Because it was done on film. Today, would that be shocking at all? No. I mean, it's just, you know, you may not want your kids to hear it, but it's not, you know, it's not going to shock you. You know, it's the same thing Saturday Night Live. When Dan Aykroyd first said, Jane, you slut.
Yeah.
I mean, did that freak everybody? I mean, well, you're not old enough to know, but, man, I jumped back from the TV. What did he say?
I wasn't there, but I do remember that there was a strong reaction.
You know, but then today, that word is used very openly.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not shocking. So it's a time. I don't know that the punk thing is that shocking.
It might have been shocking in the 80s.
Yeah.
Especially when punk was a lot bigger than it is right
well,
now.
Well, possibly, but again, it's not so much. But it's any kind. I just like Shannon as a babyface. That's just my gig, you know.
I don't know what he's supposed to be right now, to tell you the truth.
Well, I'm assuming a heel. I don't know either. You know, quite frankly, he hasn't spent enough ring time to. Well, except for the guys he's been against, basically have been babyfaces.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, they did these vignettes with him.
Yeah.
And I liked the vignettes when they first started. They were, what, 5-10 seconds?
Yeah.
It's just like, wow, okay, what's next? And then they bring him out and they just job him every week. What was the point?
Yeah, you're right.
It was ridiculous.
I guess the highlight of the ECW show, while we're on ECW, was the Hardys against, Eminem, right?
Yeah.
And it was a good old, from what I understand, a good old-fashioned tag match.
Done right, man, by book.
Well, that's cool.
But the Hardys, yeah, they still, well, they hadn't been together for a long time.
One of the big problems with the show, one of the big problems, or at least from what I've heard, the feedback is the length of time. It got really short, a half hour short or something?
I believe they ended 40 minutes early. It ended at the 20-minute mark.
Wow.
Which I thought was, and they were stalling as it was, you know, the main event. It was like, I think they stalled for 15 minutes before they did the Elimination Chamber match.
Let's look at it realistically. It's not like this company, what I mean, this company, the corporate umbrella that ECW is under, just got into business yesterday.
Right.
It's just that I'm assuming, and that's all I can do is assume, is that this particular pay-per-view was an afterthought, and nobody really got serious. I mean, at least none of the people that actually make decisions and make them stick got serious about it.
Well, there was a report that came out today. I believe it was the PW Torch that said one of the main reasons that they didn't have a larger advertised undercard was because Vince wanted it that way. He wanted all the viewers to focus on the main event, the Extreme Elimination Chamber match. And it was reported that he said to have even been against advertising the open challenge match between the Hardys and Eminem. You know, it could be noted, too, maybe not after this disaster, McMahon might take this new philosophy for upcoming Raw and SmackDown pay-per-views.
I don't know.
By doing 2 or 3
matches.
Well,
you know, and I think it isn't. Well, here again, it comes back to, you know, personal decisions and what you think works best for you. I think that the stronger the card, the better it is, whether it's a house show or, well, obviously I've never booked a pay-per-view, so I couldn't talk about that. But to me, I've always felt that even if you're the guy that looks at the lights in the opening match, somebody bought a ticket to see you.
Right, even if it was your mom.
Yeah, so that's why I don't like substitutions. You know, if they can be prevented, obviously with injuries they can't sometimes. But I think everybody has a measure of importance on a card.
Yeah, and I for one, Vince McMahon, am not going to buy a pay-per-view if I don't know who's on it. I'm not going to go to the show if I don't know who's on it.
Well, it's just like I'm not going to go down to the multiplex cinema and just buy a ticket at random and say point me in a door.
Right.
Because I might find out I spent my $8 on something I don't want to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And yeah, I don't quite understand. And when I say, again, you saw the show, I didn't. But I know the feedback that I got was strong, negatively strong. You know, and about the only good thing that I heard was the tag match we were talking about, the Hardys and Eminem.
Yeah, the Extreme Elimination Chamber match was pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, I heard really the girls were just off the charts bad.
Yeah.
Ariel and Kelly.
Yeah, it was Kevin Thorne and Ariel. They defeated Mike Knox and Kelly.
Yeah.
Kelly is not a wrestler.
Well, you know what? I don't even know if the other girl is, but to me, when you say you talk about this girl or that girl just being a pretty face, as far as I can see, that's all Kelly is.
Yeah.
I mean, she can't dance. She doesn't project any personality.
Right.
None.
You could put a cardboard cutout there.
Yeah.
Next to Mike Knox, and it would accomplish the same thing. And that's no offense to Kelly, but I mean, I just don't really think she belongs on TV.
No.
She belongs in a magazine where she doesn't have to move or anything.
Exactly, or talk or,
right,
or whatever. And as far as talking goes, Melina cannot stop talking too.
She's really getting into this, man. Melina's really getting into this.
But you know, yeah, but she's not a good promo person. She's,
no,
she's not. I mean, again, that doesn't mean she doesn't love her mother or go to church. She's just not a good promo person.
I could do without the screaming myself.
Huh?
I could do without the screaming.
Well, I could do without her lengthy promos. Period.
Yeah, I don't know how many times
she just doesn't have a flow. She's not. That's not her strong suit.
I don't know how many times they're going to use the same double entendre. Oh, she's a screamer, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
How long are they going to do that?
And the whole K-Fed thing is, you know.
That's ridiculous.
Well, it is. You know, it's who's to say this skinny dancer is going to beat John Cena the champion?
I think I'm bigger than K-Fed.
Well, I imagine he's taller.
Yeah.
Everybody's tall.
Everybody's taller than
you are. Everybody's My God, that's why I like standing next to you, Doc.
What are you, like 5'10"?
No. I'm obviously shorter now than I was as a younger man.
We all
shrink a bit. I think at my maximum I was about 5'9¾".
The picture that we took that's on the splash site, page on our website was taken in October.
Yes.
It was at the beginning of October. I'm 5'8". And Les looks really tall to me. But, guys, if you notice, I am kind of, like, what do you call it? I'm leaning forward a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm not standing straight up.
It's like Tom Cruise and his wife.
But he does make me look like a little dwarf, though.
Well, I'm not a huge guy, so anyway.
But moving on, Elijah Burke and Sylvester Turkay. Defeated FBI.
Turkey. You know, I knew they were pronouncing it the other way, and the reason I say Turkey is because that was the way it was pronounced in OVW, and I never heard Sylvester correct anybody, so I'm assuming Turkey is why they're using the, I guess, the French pronunciation or whatever. I have no idea.
Maybe he's going to be French-Canadian or something.
I don't know.
Balls Mahoney beat Matt Stryker.
I heard that was bad.
It was not a good match, but it, you know, finally an ECW original won a match. You know.
Well. Well, you know what? And I know that the probably the longtime ECW fans are very noticing that. But with some of these guys, they've they should be phased out. I mean, when I say phased out or phased down, I'm not saying they shouldn't make a living. They shouldn't do what they enjoy doing. But it's just, I think in part, what that company is. Well, again, it's my surmation. It's my assuming that ECW is a step up from the developmentals.
Right.
Or maybe two steps. I mean, I'm not trying to be demeaning, but you get my point, right?
Yes.
That's where Punk's going to cut his teeth before they move into Raw or SmackDown. The same with some of the other guys. So,
and some of these guys they're not using on Raw and SmackDown. They're moving down.
Right, right. Or they don't have room for them or whatever. They're giving them more seasoning there and maybe they'll get more airtime.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever. But they were in a tag match with FBI.
I agree with you, though, that the ECW originals at some point should be phased out, but...
Well, when I say, I mean, some of the, I shouldn't, I'm not saying they all, but it's like Sandman. Without the cane, what have you got?
Well, yeah.
And you're not, and here's the thing. Realize they're playing, this ECW is playing on a much larger stage than the old ECW.
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably not as many bloodthirsty fans as they're... Or in proportion, anyway, I should say.
That's true, too. And the originals, they're all 10 years older than they were in their heyday. But, I mean, give them something, though. I mean, right from the start, they're getting jobbed left and right.
Yeah.
They had, like, 1 week where they looked good, and then it was the first week. And then.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you, the one guy that I do feel really bad for is Tommy Dreamer.
Yes. That was my next thing. Tommy Dreamer.
Well, I like him as a person. He spent time with me at HWA. He's got a hell of a passion for the business. He loves what he does, and I think he's worked hard for the company, whether that be in the front office or in ECW or whatever the case may be. And he just deserves better, I think.
And didn't he didn't he give up his front office job so he could do this
full
time?
Oh, yes, he did.
Yeah. And here he is on ECW's December to Disremember, jobbing to Daivari.
Yeah.
Which is no knock on Daivari, but, I mean, come on, what's Daivari got?
Here's answering this question for me. Has Dreamer pinned anybody?
No.
I don't. That's what I thought. I don't keep a scorecard, but I didn't think he had.
Tommy Dreamer's probably more than anybody else the epitome of what ECW was.
Yeah.
And has not, you know, he's looked at the lights every match.
Yep.
And that's what gets me mad, and I think that's what gets a lot of the purest mad when it comes to ECW and the way things used to be. And then, of course, it was the Hardys defeating Eminem. Eminem is back, baby. And it's good to see it's good to see Johnny Nitro's partner back.
You know what? And somebody said this to me, but I haven't seen him since they put Jeff and Matt back together. But somebody said to me, it's like two halves make a whole. They're much better as a team than they are as individuals. I honestly believe Matt picks Jeff up in terms of work rate and technical ability. But you know, there are guys. I mean, some guys are just destined to be tag teams. They're just stronger. I mean, that goes back to. I mean, you know, I can sit here and quote chapter and verse about how many guys have made huge amounts of money as tag team, but didn't do the same thing as singles. You know, so.
It's true. I think they complement each other pretty well as far as styles and in the ring and things like that. Matt and Jeff alone, I think Jeff was more popular when they were alone for
a
while.
Yeah, I think that they're brothers, legitimately, but they're also opposites in some subtle ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where Jeff is more flamboyant with his paint.
Yeah.
Smeared all over his face. I'm still trying to figure out why.
With his day glow.
Huh?
With his day glow.
Yeah. And the evening gloves, which I'm not sure why that's there. But anyway, and then Matt is more a Matt-based, you know, technically sound wrestler.
Right.
You know, so they play well off each other in that respect, I think.
Yeah, and like I said, match of the pay-per-view.
Yeah,
my friend. Of course, the main event saw Bobby Lashley pretty much coming out of nowhere. They gave him a good build-up for about a week, but he pretty much did come out of nowhere if you think about it in long term to come out and win the ECW title.
Lashley's far more comfortable now. I mean, he's come a long way in a short time. He's still got a long way to go, I think.
Mm-hmm.
In 10 years ago, he wouldn't be in this position.
But I agree with what you said right there. Far more comfortable.
Yeah.
He looks like he's.
Yeah, when he first came up, he was like a deer in the headlights.
Right. Now he looks like he's got his confidence back.
Yeah.
And he's projecting better.
Yeah, I think so. But like I say, is a champion of one of the three divisions. 10 years ago, that would have never happened. I mean, when I say, I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. He's just not seasoned enough. But that is, as we've talked about numerous times this past year on the show, you know, they're not as deep in solid talent. This is, there's more kids getting their feet wet in the higher levels now than ever before, I think.
Right. I'd agree with you there. And I think the roster only goes maybe 16 wrestlers deep, and that includes guys like Al Snow who never show up, you know.
Right. Stevie Richards was in a dark match with Rene Dupre, right?
I didn't know that. I didn't see the dark match.
Yes. Yes, he was. And Stevie's been Stevie spent time here with me, too, and he worked his butt off for me. He really did. And I like him. I like him as a person, and he's a solid worker.
Yeah, I miss old Stevie from the ECW days when he was Raven's lackey. Those were the best days. Him, Joey Styles, and Raven.
See, I didn't get to see a lot of that TV.
Oh, I should copy you a tape and send this to you. It's got a lot of I believe it's 95 stuff in it, and this was when Mick Foley and Funk were feuding.
Right.
Shane Douglas and Sandman.
There's one thing that I will always remember, and not necessarily associated with ECW, but the Eagles' Desperado plays when Terry comes out, and I love. I mean, you talk about a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
That song and Terry it is so fitting.
We'll have to get Terry back on the show again soon. We need to check up on the guy. I haven't heard from him in a long time.
Well, a lot of guys we haven't had in a while.
Yeah, that's
true. How about Artie Reynolds and his new book?
Like I've said, I've tried to get a hold of this man. I don't know. I think maybe he's got a big head now that...
No,
I'm just kidding.
See, there you go.
I'm kidding, Artie. I'm kidding. But, you know, he's got three books out, you know.
Well...
It was different when he had one, or two. But now he's got three, so it's like he's too busy for us now.
Well, he's a many published author, right? Or
yes.
However you would say that.
Yes, he's
good for him.
He's well authored.
Maybe we can borrow some money from him.
Absolutely, he doesn't live that far from me. So
we'll see.
Go over
and give him a poor me face and tell him you need money.
Like, my kid's not going to have a Christmas.
I would like to, honestly. I would like to see his book of lists. You know the problem right now? I was thinking this the other day. There's so many books that I haven't read.
Yeah.
So many. And if I went out and bought everything I'd like to read, I'd spend $300 or $400.
Exactly. And
I don't intend to do that.
In a few months, you know. Everybody's got a book now.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a book now.
Dick Steinborn, who you wouldn't know, but we will get on the show at some point, emailed me the other day. Dickie was a very tremendous worker. His father was an old strongman. Milo Steinborn, and anyway, Dick is doing a book which should be very good. He was a hell of a hand, just a good ring psychologist and everything. And I worked a couple territories with him, and he had emailed me and said, "Can I get your permission to use your name in my book?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I won't bury you." And I said, "That's okay. If you do, it'll give me fodder to give me something to talk about on my talk show."
Right.
I said, "If you lie about it," but I told him I don't even know when it's going to be finished.
That's cool.
But his will cover the 50s and the 60s. Well, he worked. I'm sorry, he worked into the 70s too. But anyway, he was quite a hand. It worked with a lot of the top guys.
You think it's time? Maybe it's a little bit too early, but maybe it's time for a Doc Young book.
I don't know. I thought it was, and when I say this again, I Rock is a hell of a guy, and you know, I like him. But when he did a book, I thought, what's he got to write about?
Right.
You know, he just passed through the business. So the Hardys did a book.
Right.
And Lita did a book.
Edge did a book like 3 years ago.
Yeah, and I said, what? Why? You know? Well, yesterday we got up, and today we're going to... We became wrestlers, okay?
My book would be like, well...
You know what?
I slept all day.
Here's the deal, Doc. The kids, I mean, this generation, because of how sterile the corporations have made the business, there won't be a lot of great stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, always the politics behind the scenes. But, I mean, the road stories that the guys from my generation and the generation before me can tell. Well, when we had Don Fargo on the show,
yes.
Right? I mean, things like that just never happen again. As I mentioned, when Sputnik Monroe passed away, he was such a great guy to keep the locker room loose, but he wouldn't even be welcome in the corporate locker room today.
Right.
Because he speak his mind, you know? Which is, I don't know. It's anyway, we won't get into that. Have we covered the ECW spectrum?
Pretty much, but one last note about ECW is that, of course, with the Big Show losing the title on Sunday, he's got a rematch tonight on ECW on Sci-Fi.
Right.
Not going to give that away. That was taped last night.
It could be his last match ever, too.
Could be his last match ever.
Although I know Hogan's still talking about possibly doing WrestleMania with him and whatever.
Who knows? He might come back for something like that. But his contract does expire in February.
February.
And reportedly has little to no interest in signing a new deal.
Well, you know, like I say, he's made a lot of money. If his health is not good, and at his size, that's even, you know, it's even worse than it would be on you or I.
Mm.
But he stepped up when they put him in ECW and gave him the ball. He carried it, man. He rose to the occasion, and he has my
I hear a lot of disgruntled fans are just like disenchanted fans, basically. Oh well, at least Big Show don't have the title no more. Big Show was the best thing to happen to that title since they brought ECW back.
He was, he and I have some muscle cars in common too.
Ah,
yeah.
Didn't know he could fit in a muscle car.
Well, I don't know if he's sitting in any of those ones. I think he's got a 67 Dodge.
Big Show probably plays with muscle cars. Like
I don't know
like,
if it's a Ford to, I don't know if it's a Hemi or what. But anyway, well, he and Brock Lesnar and I down in OVW used to talk about muscle cars because I was big drag racing. Ricky Steamboat was big in drag racing. Bob Armstrong. A bunch of us were Mr. Wrestling, Tim Woods, on and on and on. But Show and I had that in common. Wow. Plus, I like Paul. He was a good guy.
Big Show probably plays with those cars like regular people play with Matchbox cars.
I said he was a good guy. Like he's he was a good guy.
He is.
Excuse me, Paul.
And I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. When Big Show's contract is up and he's at home convalescing, he's going to be on the show.
Okay.
At the very first chance I can get.
Okay.
We are bringing Big Show on Wrestling Weekly, my friends.
Cool.
That's a promise from me to you.
All right. Me and I can talk about muscle cars.
We've got some.
And like you and D'Lo and talk about games.
That's right.
Electronic games, right? And you can sit with your mouth hanging open and listen.
And be like, wow, a Hemi. Does that have anything to do with Christie?
I heard that.
But, we got some good guests coming up in December.
Good.
Tell me who. Michael Porter. Do you remember him?
Who?
Michael Porter. He was a WWE announcer from 88 to 93. Did I lose you?
You didn't lose me. I just don't remember.
You don't remember Michael Porter?
No.
Wow.
I don't think I ever met him. Well, which is not, I mean, I didn't work for the company then, so
right.
The fact that I wouldn't have met him is not really, you know.
Unfortunately for Michael, he was part of WWE during
WWF,
yes, at the time, during some of its worst years. The lowest pays, the lowest shows, attended shows. 88 to 93 was pretty bad years in WWF as far as interest in wrestling.
Right. Well, you know what? I did read today that their net profits were down 11% this past quarter from the quarter a year previous.
Really?
Yeah, but then I'm told that was due to I think at the online conference with the stockholders it was said to have been due to that last year they received a large chunk of money in that quarter from a lawsuit. And this year they had invested in some other projects. So and without the strong TV revenue, which they had, you know, when they were on Spike.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was the explanation for that. But yeah, it was down 11%.
Wow, not good, not good. I'm glad. I wonder how much.
Well, when you sit with $250 million in cash reserve, I guess. It's not all bad either, Doc.
No, it's not. But I wonder how much each stock is now.
I have no idea.
I don't either. I remember
it's in the high teens, I think, a share or something. It stays in the mid-teens, I guess, 15, 17.
I think when it first came out, when they first went public, I think it was somewhere around 32.
Was it?
Yeah, so anybody who got in on that is in a lot of trouble financially right now. But, yeah, it's best not to jump on a stock when it first comes out like that.
I heard that.
But we're going to take a break, guys. We are getting ready for our featured guest. He's a former WWE Tough Enough standout and author of the new book.
Before we take this break and before you get into all that, do we have a pay-per-view coming up? Everybody's got a pay-per-view this month, don't they? Isn't there something next weekend?
I don't think there is
no
this weekend.
There's an open weekend.
I think this would finally be it.
You can spend your $40 on food.
Yeah, or cigarettes or something.
Or something, yeah, whatever. on some other form of entertainment.
Some beer.
Or pay a bill.
Let's see.
You keep a schedule for that. I tell you the truth, I don't, and probably should, but I don't.
December 17th is Armageddon.
Okay. How about the TNA pay-per-view?
The TNA pay-per-view...
Is the 6th, is the 17th? No.
No, it can't be the same day.
What's...
I believe... Let me look real quick. This is a good question.
Okay. I'm glad I threw it out there. We may be missing something here.
We may be.
Not to think that we're right on top of all the wrestling news is fit to print or anything, but...
And it's sad that we don't know this. You know what? Turning point.
Huh?
Turning point. December 10th.
Okay.
This Sunday.
Hey.
Hey, we have a game to play.
Do you have the card?
You know, TNA is going to be so mad at us for this right now. We're going to have to cut this part out of the replay. That we didn't know Turning Point was this Sunday.
We didn't. I think I brought it up to you. Wait. Didn't pay for you?
All
Sorry,
right.
You said no.
All right. I didn't know.
Trying to pass the heat, Doc. You'll do well as a politician in the wrestling business. You will do well.
Let's find the card here for Turning Point. I don't think they're giving out.
I know there's a rematch with Angle and Joe.
Yes, Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe, Part 2, the rematch.
Right.
My
only hope with that match is that they give more time to, you know, so they can put in, I mean, make it a more solid match, which I saw Meltzer gave it 4.25 stars. I don't know that I would have gone. I mean, it was a good match. It just didn't have enough time to really build to as strong a match as I know both these guys are capable of.
He gave it how many?
4.25, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far. I'd have said 3.5.
No, I wouldn't go that far either.
Really?
I don't know. I don't judge my star. I'm just not good at that.
Yeah.
I'm really not. But, I mean, I hope they get more time this time, and I think it would make sense that Joe slips over on this one.
Yeah. Only a few matches to talk about here at Turning Point, but I do want to let you know that the Road to Turning Point, TNA special, is going to be Saturday, December 9th at 11:30 a.m., and Sunday, December 10th at 9 a.m. on Spike TV.
AMs.
AMs,
no,
yes.
That's... Well, everybody can TiVo or DVR it, and so I just say you won't get... I don't think you get a real strong reading at those point in time.
Yes, I know I won't be awake.
You'll just be going to bed, for God's sake.
It's possible, because it is the weekend.
I know another huge match is the Eric Young-Tracy Brooks bikini contest.
Exactly. That's just what I was going to start off with. Tracy Brooks versus Eric Young in a bikini contest. It's going to be a doozy.
You wouldn't know that Vince Russo is booking for that company, would you?
No, not at all.
And Eric's saying that models are about 115 pounds, and he's got to drop all the weight so he loses. And I'm thinking, why are we wasting time on this?
I have no idea.
Just like the turkey outfit that he wore, and I thought, I agree with Bobby Roode.
I'm going to go ahead and say Tracy wins.
unless Stevie Wonder is the judge, I would say so.
And an X Division title match. It's going to be between Christopher Daniels, he's the champion, versus Chris Sabin.
I see Daniels keeping the belt, and I don't mean that Sabin shouldn't have it at some point, but I think, well, here again, my comments and business sense tells me that belt has been jumped around in the last couple months several times.
Yes.
And it's time to leave it alone.
Yes.
I tend to believe... Well, go ahead. Go ahead with the matches. I was going to get ahead of myself.
Go ahead and speak about it.
It was another match. I'm going to wait for you to get us to the next match. Anyway,
okay.
I take Christopher Daniels in this one.
You take Chris. I'm going to go ahead with you on that one. Sabin just lost the belt not too long ago.
Yeah.
If they jump around again, it's just... I don't know what they're doing. The next match, the big rematch, Kurt Angle versus Samoa Joe.
Okay, I take Joe.
You're going to take Joe.
Well, I think, you know, that gives you sense. It gives you reason for a rubber match anyway.
Absolutely.
But you know what? Here's my problem. If you recall, before these guys had their first match, I said, "Do I want to see it?" I absolutely do. But I want to see it March or April.
Yeah.
Okay, so if Joe wins, they've got to win a piece, and then they're going to have a rubber match. What happens after that? Thank you.
It's that
your silence is the answer. I mean, well, see, and there's no. I mean, you know, what I was getting at is with verbal confrontations over the next few months, they could have built to March or April, and it would have made you want it even more. Done right, you mm-hmm. know. And that's the other thing too. Both of these guys are pretty decent promo guys, so it's not, you know, it's not unheard of that they could have drug it out that long.
That's true. Just to make this interesting, I'm going to go with Kurt Angle on this one.
Okay.
I'm going to say that they completely screw this up, and they have Kurt Angle make Joe look like a punk once again.
Okay.
Main event, of course, is the NWA World Heavyweight title match. It's between Abyss, the champion, versus Sting versus Christian Cage in a three-way.
No, isn't Cage against... Oh, no, that was the last pay-per-view. He was with Styles, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. It's Rhino and Styles. That's it. Anyway, I'm afraid that's when I started to jump ahead, and we were talking about Saban and Chris Daniels. I am afraid that our friend Abyss will be dropping the strap.
You do?
I don't know why I say that. That's just a feeling I have. I'm not saying I think he should. Here's the other thing too. I think there'll be some kind of something going on there because the whole thing with Sting calling him by name, and they're going to switch him. Well, I think Dutch Mantel used it, turned him babyface in Puerto Rico, and it got over.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's the funny thing. Before I saw this, I was sitting with time on my hands and playing Fantasy Booker, and I thought, put Mitchell, because Jim can, is, I think he would honestly make Bobby Roode a better entity into the race. But I was thinking as of Abyss, as a babyface and talking.
You were thinking the same thing I was thinking.
And the reason I say that is because he is such a strong promo guy, first of all, but now going way back, in the Southeastern territory, based in Knoxville, in the 70s, we had the Stomper, Archie Goldie,
mm.
right? When he came in, he was like a juggernaut, man. He went through the big Christmas Battle Royal and later, I mean, he was the man, right? Had managers, he had Gorgeous George Jr. as a manager, he had Don Carson as a manager, on. Anyway, now, we didn't do it in 15 minutes, but Abyss has been with the company like from the very beginning, am I right?
Yeah.
So basically 4 years.
Yeah.
Which obviously the large portion of the crowd would know that because they're just picking up on it. The show in the last year and a half. But anyway, when we turned Archie babyface, and I forget what the deal was, why he, you know, well, he could always talk, obviously, but, you know, when he first spoke, it was like, whoa, you know, the people. And it made him a strong babyface. Made him a strong baby face,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I could, done properly. And again, you know, it comes down to that, how you handle it. But I you know, I could see Abyss turn a baby face under the right circumstances. But I think he'll drop the title, I don't even know. It's just a feeling I have, and I don't know that it'll go back to Sting, but then I don't see it putting it back on Christian either.
Yeah, it's...
Well, see,
the toss-up almost.
Well, here's the thing. Long term, Joe, and that's the other thing too. To me, pick a couple heels for Joe. Pick a couple heels for Angle. Let them work through a few months with those heels, getting their wins, and then building to where one of them challenges whoever the champion is, comes up with the title. Now you've got Joe chasing Kurt or Kurt chasing Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now into the summer.
Right.
And we've got some mileage out of this.
Right. It didn't happen. You know, Jarrett said a few weeks back in his interview, you know, they had a choice to make, whether to stretch it out or to try to throw everything they could, you know, into their primetime debut. And right or wrong, you know, this was the choice that they made.
Let's see. Now, we, going way back to the beginning of the program, we were talking about, like, is WWE competition or is TNA competition for WWE or vice versa? And, see, I think they're in a position where they just need to draw in new fans and build a solid base again. I know I'm not the only person that feels this way. They need to go more the Ring of Honor direction. Get away from some of the bad comedy and some of the other stuff. You know, that's not, well, Eric Young in a turkey suit, for one thing, I could do without, or the blow up dolls and all that craziness. But, I think that's, and it's not like the Monday Night Wars, because they're not on the same time, right? So they have nothing to prove.
Right.
You know, except to build a good solid product for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my feeling, obviously. And again, that's, you know, you find nine territories, you'll find nine different bookers with virtually nine different ideas.
Right.
You know, that doesn't mean that they're not going to succeed. It's just that not the way I would do it.
And plus, you have networks to make happy.
Yeah, well, you know, part of the conversation I had today was about that, too. It's great that Spike has put some money into the pot to help them out. A, it's very negative that Spike wants to have anything to say about it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in my sarcastic way, can Jeff Jarrett come in and tell you how to produce your shows? Well, of course not. He's not a director. Hey, guess what? You don't write wrestling, so there you have it. See, mm-hmm. But I mean, that's the problem in a situation like that. You invest a large sum of money into a product, and you want some input.
Right.
But it's in a product you have no earthly idea what it's about.
Right. Catch 22.
And that's one of the things that I understand with the MTV Wrestling Society X, is that MTV does have a strong input. They have a demographic that they're shooting for, and they actually are facially, I mean, they wouldn't know a good worker from a bad, but they're looking, and I won't mention the name because I wouldn't want to embarrass him, but one of the guys they looked at initially, who is a flyer, who's a pretty damn good worker, they looked at him and said he looks too old, even though the guy isn't that old.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that's it. So that's, you know, when the people driving the cars start dictating how they're assembled, that's a problem, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think that's the problem with the TNA thing. But anyway, moving on. What other matches are on there?
This is all the
America's
all
Most Wanted, LAX.
No.
None of that.
None announced yet. I guess we'll have to find out on Thursday.
Wow.
The rest of them.
Yeah.
But who do you still pick in the title
match? I hate to think Sting's. Well, you know what? I'll just go with Abyss and let him hang on to it.
Oh, okay.
I got a feeling, but then, you know, I don't know why. I'll go with Abyss, and we'll say he'll keep the title.
I was going to go with you on that, but I'm going to make it interesting. I am going to say Christian Cage picks it up again.
Okay.
So that's going to be a good one.
I like Jay. Jay's a good worker. He's done a good job. He's just not my world champion.
Yeah.
And in truth, neither is Abyss, and I told you why. I mean, I don't like gimmicks for titles.
Yeah.
Or at least not world titles, not, you know.
Yeah.
And that's no...
It seems, though, that they are pushing toward making Abyss talk, and I would love to see that happen. I've seen, Prince Justice. I'd like to see some more of his promo work.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any.
Well, I'll tell you what, when he was carrying a lot more tonnage around and was trying to find his way and learn to work, what carried him as a strong heel was his promos.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the promos made the man. Because at one point, that's actually all he had. And when I say that, he's come a long way, and he's got himself in shape, and he's turned into a good worker. But at one point, when he was still trying to learn, all he had going for him was the promos. But, yeah, he's a strong promo guy.
Yeah. I'm just taking a look at the chat room right now, and I'm just noticing a special guest coming into the chat room. It's Adam Martin. He's the owner of WrestleView.com. So hi, Adam. And
hi, Adam.
I hope Adam doesn't know that I steal my news from WrestleView.com.
I'm sure Adam knows, like everybody else in the news business, you steal it from every place.
Exactly.
And I say you, I don't mean just you, I mean everybody.
Exactly. But we're going to take a break now, and when we come back, Chris Nowinski is going to be on the program. He is the author of the new book called Head Games, former WWE Tough Enough standout, and of course, he played the Harvard snob, Chris Nowinski, on WWE. He's going to be with us answering your questions and talking about the good old days and what he's up to right now.
The good old days.
The good old days from 3 years ago.
Gotcha.
But we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have Chris with you. He's going to be answering your questions. Go on into the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com. Submit your questions for us to ask Chris. Stick around. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly. We'll be right back.
We know you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hi, my name is Adam Nudelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nudelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, our featured guest, he's former WWE star, wasn't tough enough, and he's the author of the new book called Head Games. Chris Nowinski's on the program. Chris, thank you for being on Wrestling Weekly.
Thanks for having me on, Doc. Hey, Les, how you doing?
I'm good, brother. And, you know, Doc, you forgot to say, he's one of my boys, too.
He's one of Les's boys.
Yep. Yeah. We spent some time together in HWA, and I'll get the funny part of it out of the way, and then we'll get into to the serious things. He was teamed with Easy Money. We call him Smart Money.
Oh, those are the days. I used to bring a dictionary to the ring and bust out some words, and that was the one time I used to have tearaway khaki pants, which they only let me use one time in WWE before they said I looked like a stripper. But my favorite moment from Heartland was when I threw them up into the, you know, I used to whip them off with enormous force, and they got caught 20 feet over my head in the lighting, too. I don't know if you remember that, but I remember it.
You know what? I was thinking about that today, and if you hadn't brought it up, I was going to.
I'll never forget that moment, because the crowd loved it.
Yeah, you know what, Cody did a year or so ago, had some of the fans in their on their message board doing your outstanding moments that you remember, and a couple people brought that up as being, you know, so, and I remember standing in the doorway watching, and I thought, I'll be damned, if he'd try to do that 100 times, he would never get the shot, right?
Probably not.
No.
What position did you play at football at Harvard?
I was a defensive tackle.
All right.
Yeah, I was about 290 pounds, the second team All-Ivy as a senior, but a great honor to be part of that program.
Why don't you get into a little bit, of course, I'm sure the fans that are listening now and are in the chat room certainly remember you from Tough Enough. How did Tough Enough come about for you?
Tough Enough came about because I actually was already enrolled in wrestling school. When I graduated from Harvard, I had a consulting job. Actually, the exact same consulting job I'm sitting in my office right now that I had a job at back in 2000. But the owner of the firm actually was a big wrestling fan. We were both wrestling fans, and he kind of made me the offer that he said, "Why don't you give it a shot to become one?" Because I knew I did sports, I did acting in college, and we both had a big love for it, and so he gave me the option to work part-time and go to wrestling school at night. So I found Killer Kowalski's school in Malden. It was only about half an hour from my house, and I started going four times a week at night, and enrolled 3 months before they announced Tough Enough. So I had a little bit of training under my belt. Had already given Killer my $2,500, but it was great. It was great training, and it was a great opportunity to actually learn like the business the right way. And get a taste, I mean, not that I had it the right way the whole time, but actually get a taste of what it was like, to really, you know, to try to come up, you know, the indie way and, you know, through a school.
Do you still have your, Tough Enough audition tape, and do you remember what was on it?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's on the DVD if you want to get a Before They're a Superstar. I think it's one of the eggs or whatever they call it these days. But, I ended up, going into my office and with a camera and kind of saying how much I kind of hated my current life and assaulting people in the office, kind of cramming a bunch of people in a tiny office, saying, you know, I have to share an office with all these people, and you know, my boss won't give me a raise, and then we cut to me like ask my boss for a raise and then pitting him up against the wall with all sorts of things. And I went to Harvard and said, was on campus and was like, it was in the middle of a blizzard, or just the snow at about a foot. And I was like, yeah, Harvard was a really weird place, you know. It was the kind of place where all the nerds used to beat up the football players. And all of a sudden, I had some buddies there. They started throwing some snowballs at me off camera. And so we got into a big brawl, and I threw some wrestling moves on them in the snow. It was just fun. And you know, I just cut a typical Harvard promo at the end. But it was a lot of fun filming that stuff. I even filmed it at some of the Kowalski school. So had some of the April Hunter slap me across the face as hard as she possibly could.
That's awesome. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. You and I first met in Toronto at WrestleMania, at the FanFest thing.
Yes.
Now, at that point, did you know that they were going to sign and bring you back?
No, that was my audition.
Okay.
I got a call, so as everyone knows, I didn't win the show, and went home and started working the indies and went back to my job. And a few months later, 6 months later, I got a call from Big, the producer, saying, hey, we're going to put together, bring back the finalists and put on a show during the fan access. So it would be an hour during each session, and at the end of each session, we'd put on a match. And so it was unofficial audition.
Now, this is WrestleMania 18, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went up to Toronto. It was me, Maven, Josh, Nydia, and Taylor, and only Maven and Nydia were under contract. And so we would get in the ring, and we'd, like, you know, show the fans. There was a few thousand fans at each session. They set up a ring, and they set up all these stands. I think they basically wanted to put on wrestling stuff without the boys having to take any bumps. So they had us do it. And then at the end of each one, they had us do a match, and it was great. They had the Tough Enough trainers do it. So Al and Chavo and Jackie and some of the people there trained us. And I guess I performed well enough, actually. I remember Chavo. I worked a match with Chavo. That was the first time I'd ever worked him, and he made me look really great. And I worked Maven and Al, and it was good enough that by the end of the weekend, they told me to get ready to quit my job.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then they sent him to me, and the rest is history.
Yeah.
How long did you stay down in HWA?
I was in HWA for, about 3 or 4 months before I got shipped over to Louisville.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
I was only down there for, about 2 or 3 months before I was up on Raw.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Doc, he and Money, Money is a get-your-stuff-in type of guy, if you didn't know. and if you've ever watched him work, you had to know. But you know, these guys, as a team, were getting over like crazy.
Uh-huh.
You know, but that's one of the things that, for some reason, the things that get over in developmental never seem to find their way to the big stage, for whatever reason, I don't know. But yeah, they were over real strong with us as a heel team. And you know, you've got a book out, and sadly enough, your career was cut short with a concussion, and that's why you wrote the book. Talk about that a little bit, Chris.
Yeah, unfortunately, my career was cut short. The last concussion I ever got was wrestling the Dudleys in the summer of 2003. I took a kick to the chin, and that night, the next day, I was having severe headaches and memory problems, and for some reason it just wouldn't go away for me. Whereas, you know, most concussions, your symptoms, you know, dissipate after a few hours or a few days. Mine never went away, and after visiting a bunch of doctors, well, first after denying the fact that I was having these problems, and I wrestled about 6 or 7 more matches and really did myself a lot more damage than I should have. I finally went doctor to doctor and was not getting good answers, and finally went to a guy who helped me figure out that I'd had been getting concussions my whole career, both in wrestling and in football. I had at least half a dozen in the last few years I'd been competing.
Wow.
And I'd done a lot of permanent damage to my brain, and then I actually got an MRI to confirm that. I'd had a bunch of dead spots, dead areas of tissue in my brain. And that's why I wasn't recovering, is because I'd gone too far.
Right.
And that's kind of what made me realize that whole process going, geez, I'm a 24-year-old Harvard graduate, and I didn't know had I rested after I got the concussion, I probably would have been fine. But I never knew that you need to rest after concussion to protect your brain cells. I never knew that I could have died from getting 2 concussions in a row. So at any point when I kept getting back in the ring thinking I was doing the right thing and being a hero, I was putting my own life at risk. And I never knew that there's all these, all this research out there that shows there's some really dramatic connections between things like, with multiple concussions and Alzheimer's and depression and all sorts of issues. So, all that stuff, was really eye-opening to me. And when I couldn't work, I couldn't legitimately work, not even wrestle, but hold a real job for 18 months, I had some time to realize, do some research and kind of realize that, you know, all the athletes out there kind of need to know this information, because I'm not the only guy to ever have his life sent off track, or even, you know, a lot of guys have their lives destroyed by these injuries, and they've never, you know, it's amazing what a poor job we've done educating athletes on it.
You know, now, in regard to that, and you have done extensive research, obviously, to write the book, we just a few weeks ago, there was a domestic thing where Tracy Smothers' girlfriend had him in court over, you know, over him threatening her, but she wanted him to get medical help because how many concussions did she say he had had, Doc? 15?
Something like that.
Really?
In
yeah,
the teens.
So now, with that, in what with what you know now, she was saying, you know, this was due to his mood swings, and I would... would you concur with that from the research you've done?
I think anybody with 15 concussions would be in amazingly high risk brackets for behavioral disorders, emotional disorders, depression, you know, cognitive impairment. I mean, the research is all in the book. I mean, there's no question. 15 is an extraordinary number. And there are a small group of guys, specifically the football players, hockey players, and pro wrestlers, who fall into that category, and I've been getting emails left and right to my website at concussioncrisis.com. I even got a wrestler from a guy, there's one in my reader stories from a worker who out of, I believe, Memphis, who said, you know, thanks for writing about this, I'm 43 and can't hold down a job anymore because I had at least 9 concussions that I remember, and I'm starting to figure out why I'm having so many problems, and these headaches, and you know, so I mean, it's ruined a lot of guys.
Right. Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
So I mean, I didn't know about the Smothers, but I mean, that it does come up a lot, and you know.
Yeah. Well, she had mentioned that a doctor I've known Tracy for years. I didn't know this, but a doctor had told him 5 or 6 years ago that he shouldn't even go back in the ring; that his life was at risk.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, the same thing. What I did, the same thing happened to Bret Hart when Bret Hart got kicked in the head by Goldberg.
Right.
He, I've been told, wrestled for the next 2 or 3 weeks because he thought, you know, it's just a concussion, no big deal. And he ended up, I mean, that's what did it. And if you go back and look at the anecdotal evidence of all the great NFL players who've retired from concussions, whether it's Troy Aikman or Merrill Hodge or Steve Young, it was always 2 in a row. And so it was always going back to play after getting that concussion. That's when you actually do the brain damage. Your cells would normally recover. It's more of a chemical, you know, there's a lot to get into, but it's more of a metabolic and chemical change. And those brain cells that will recover will die if you go back and stress your brain or get another concussion. So by Bret Hart going back into the ring and not taking care of his concussion, that's why he got messed up. That's how I got messed up. And I'm sure, you know, no wrestler has ever taken a day off from a concussion, and I'm sure that's why 15 is mean, you know, means really bad things.
Yeah. Well, you know, and at your age, just getting your feet wet in something that you had a passion to do, and then basically were being told you can't do it anymore, the life adjustment for you must have been tremendous too.
Yeah, it was. It was an adjustment. I mean, it was just an adjustment to not be able to. I mean, the worst part was just not being able to get up and go do anything.
Right.
Because I just couldn't, my head hurt so much, I couldn't even think, you know, well enough to, like, honestly, like, take a job and expect to be able to show up and do it. And that's a disappointing thing for anyone to go through, to really, you know, not be able to accept the fact that I couldn't show up to any job because it just wouldn't feel up to it most days. So, but yeah, leaving wrestling was tough because, I mean, for the first year, even doing the research, for the first year, had I been told by a doctor, you know, okay, the doctors would have done whatever I told them. Had I just not had the headaches every day and just felt all right, I probably would have said, all right, I'm ready to go back in. But after a year, and realizing I'd lost a year to this injury, and knowing that the next one I got would probably be worse and cost me more time, I finally kind of grew up and realized, you know, I don't need to throw away my life you know, to do this.
Sure.
Because I mean, it was a rough go for a while. I never knew if I would come back. I never knew if my brain would start functioning again.
But you're still involved in doing public relations with WWE. So I mean, you've still got your finger in the pie, so to speak.
Yeah, it's still WWE has been great enough to keep me on board as a spokesman for SmackDown Your Vote, as political correspondent, and you know, they honored my contract, especially when it was the gray area where I didn't know if I was coming back, and they didn't know what was wrong with me. These injuries, they really was not like a proof I could sit there and show them, like, look, I'm more damaged than anyone else who ever had a concussion. There was nothing that could ever really do that, so they showed a lot of faith. And it does let me, still working for the company does kind of satisfy that itch a little bit. But I did go run the ropes last month, and I really enjoyed it. And I thought, I could still do this, God!
You know, our business is the only drug there's no rehab for.
Exactly. It's so bad.
So you still miss it, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. Do you still watch what's going on today on TV?
Oh, of course, I've got TiVo, so I can have no excuse to miss it.
Do you catch all of them?
I catch all of them.
Excellent. I want to go back to a little bit about when you started in WWE. Were you happy with the Harvard snob gimmick, or did you think it was something that you'd been there, done that, and it was sort of an idea that you had come up with, of course, from what you said with your audition tape and things like that. Did you want to try something new, or were you happy with this one?
No, that's the perfect gimmick for me. I thought that gimmick that's the kind of gimmick that could live on forever.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was really kind of, you know, they say the best gimmicks are kind of you with the volume turned up. I there were parts of me that are, there still are parts of me that are kind of a Harvard snob. You know, I mean, Les knows, he dealt with me. I mean, there's always that little part. I mean, it was something that was great because I lived it. I always kind of base the character on like the real jerks, the real blue bloods at Harvard. There always are. There are plenty of them, and I thought it was a real natural gimmick that, you know, you could always adjust to any situation. That was the kind of thing that was always the base of the guy. You've got a guy who, you know, just, he's got something that says he's smarter than everyone, and it's legit. And he can always say he's smarter than everyone, and then we could just take that anywhere. And we did kind of, you know, play with it a little bit, you know, with going to Teddy Long and adding racial elements, but the fact was you could write anything and take any angle around it. So I kind of thought, I loved the gimmick, I loved playing it, and I really kind of thought it was a natural thing that we could just be subtly changed to anything else. And once everyone knew it was a shoot, I don't know how well we could have changed it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, in regard to that, Chris said, well, Les knows, he's dealt with me. I'm going to tell you the truth. Well, and watching Tough Enough and not having met anyone, just watching it, and I never thought for a moment that somebody on there might be working their personality a little bit. But Chris came across to me as a legitimate heel on Tough Enough. And I thought Al's going to stick his foot up this guy's butt, sure in hell. You know. Anyway, then once I met him in Toronto, then he came to Cincinnati. I thought, my God, what a nice guy. You know, personable and everything. So he worked me on Tough Enough because he had heat with me, and I thought, I got to deal with this asshole, right? And,
yeah.
But in truth, I enjoyed our time together. I really did.
No, thanks, Les. No, I did too. Yeah, no, I do, you know, consider myself a nice guy, and I, you know, in the wrestling business, you know, not, you know, you can't help but, I mean, the people are such nice people, and you can't help but go into there knowing you got to show respect for the guys. But what's great about the business is that you show someone respect, and they show it right back. So it was never, it was always just a great environment to be in. But there is always, you know, it is, yeah. I can only, I seem to have some natural talent to get people to hate me that I can turn on. But I can turn on and off at will.
One of the things that really sticks in my mind, in my memory about Tough Enough, is when you lost that bet to Al Snow, and you had to wear a sandwich board on the Harvard campus saying, Harvard sucks.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Did you see any old professors walking around the campus that just happened to remember you?
No, we were at Yale, so luckily I didn't know anybody. I'd never actually even been on the campus because their football stadium wasn't actually on campus.
Ah.
So, we wandered around in the kids' snickered and giggled. You know, at that point, they didn't know who I was, which always also helped. They just thought it was random, and they saw TV cameras.
Right.
But it did suck because I thought about it, and I knew that everybody that I played ball with and everyone to school with was going to see that and was going to make fun of me for it. I mean, one of my teammates' dad cut a promo on me at the next Harvard Yale tailgate about that. How could you do that? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, you didn't even go to Harvard. You know, what are you talking about?
What was the bet about? I don't even remember.
It was the circle game. Do you remember the circle game? We had to, you know, something the guys do on the road to pass the time where you form a circle with your index finger and thumb below your waist, and if the other guy looks, you get to punch him or variations of that.
Yes, I remember that now.
Yeah. And that actually was one of the real things that caused real heat between me and Maven, because what Al had done is me, Al, Maven, and Greg, we'd made a four-way bet. Whoever got caught three times first lost the bet.
Mm-hmm.
And we all said, okay, we're going to do an obvious team-up versus Al because we don't want to make Al lose. And we said, we're not going to get each other. And what Al did was he got me on the ropes right away because I was terrible at it, and he got two on me, and then everyone thought I was going to lose. And then what he did was he went over, he knew Maven, I was the kind of guy that was a man of my word. I was never going to turn on the other guys. It just wasn't worth it to lose, you know, I'd rather lose the bet.
Right.
But Maven didn't believe in that. And that was the real difference between me and him on the show, was that while I was the heel, that was the way I lived, and while he was the babyface, he would rather, you know, break that kind of promise. So Al had taken a Polaroid of himself doing the sign with his hands, both hands, at the same time. And he went over and he handed that to Maven, and when Maven looked at it, it counted. So, because Al's a rocket scientist. So we were all in the gym at the same time at WWE headquarters. So he went over to Al in the corner and gave it to him. And I'm like in the bike on the other side of the room, and I see Maven freak out, and I see Al laughing at him. And Maven's got this piece of paper. And Al literally handed it to him, so Maven's got two. And then Al goes, you know what you can do? You can go give this to Nowinski, and then you're all safe. And so he put Maven against the ropes, put that in his head, and Maven walked right over to me and handed it to me. And I looked at it, and boom, I lost. So Maven turned on me, and we nearly got in a fist fight in the locker room. And the only reason they didn't show it is because it would have ruined the angle of the show that I was the heel and he was the babyface. Because it would have clouded that.
Wow.
But we literally, like, Al had to get in between us.
You know, Chris, I used to, that first year, I was teasing Al. I said, Uncle Al, I said, you know what, the best part of your coaching and getting these kids' face, and I know you do, is left on the cutting room floor. They're putting you across like you're somebody's uncle, for God's sakes.
Yeah. No, it was, he had the best gimmick of all of us.
Yeah.
of course, wrestled against Maven when you were in WWE. Was there still any animosity from that situation that happened in Tough Enough?
Well, no, I mean, you know, I knew, you know, not to make any circle bet promises with him. But, no, I mean, you know, Maven was a professional when it came to the ring. And so, and he was, you know, he's still a good guy. So we actually had a really great time working together every time we did.
Excellent.
Do you ever stop and think that of all the Tough Enough the winners, the second, whatever, is that for the most part, Nitro, I guess, right now, is the only one of the whole group that's still actually performing in ring at any level of, you know, where, you know, notoriety?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've thought about that. I mean, I think the flaw, you know, I mean, in the system, I mean, a little bit was that the fact of taking guys who always say they want to be wrestling fans, but had never made any move to be say they want to be wrestlers, but never made any move to become a wrestler until this whole red carpet had been laid down in front of them.
Right.
I mean, guys like Josh and I, like Josh is still employed by the company as well. Josh had been doing backyard wrestling and knew watched every wrestling tape ever. I mean, he'd actually gone and done some real training for a little while. And, you know, the fact that we'd made commitments, we'd taken those steps on our own. Everyone else, and I was always bothered by this when we were on the show, would always talk to the camera and be like, oh, I've always wanted to be a wrestler, and they're 20-something years old, and they're not, have never gone to a school.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, you can say that all you want, but you've never done it, so you're not, you know? And the fact that, so all these guys have, you know, met some adversity at some point and then said, no, I'm not going to do it anymore. But then again, Jackie's at TNA.
Yeah, true. Well, you're having a baby now, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it may not be, the best theory in the world that I'm throwing out there here, but, I think it shows that, you know, you'd imagine out of the entire rosters of those shows, more people would be there.
Yeah.
But, the passion was not there for everybody.
And, you know, I also got the feeling that the company, and I say the company because I can't pinpoint a person necessarily, but I think they always felt that you guys or the girls, because of all the airtime that you got on Tough Enough, for some reason they thought that was enough time that you should come right in and start drawing 10 million people. And,
yeah.
Of course, you guys are human just like everybody else, and you needed your time to get acclimated and learn the business.
There were high expectations, but I don't think they necessarily cut everyone too fast. I mean,
no.
You know, I mean, everyone got a shot. They just happened to, you know, when they made mistakes, they made them on some pretty big stages. You know,
right?
And that stinks. I mean, I really kind of, when I went back to the indies for those 6 months between losing the show and getting my contract, I mean, I really gained a lot of confidence because I made so many, you know, tried so many things and made so many mistakes that I actually found the gimmick that I felt comfortable with and learned how to do it. And I think that difference was noticeable enough where they gave me a contract that not everybody had that opportunity.
Yeah.
Chris, tell us once again where you can buy the book Head Games.
The book, you can buy it at every bookstore. If you go to Barnes & Noble or Borders, it's in your football section. If you go online, it's at every retailer. And if you go to concussioncrisis.com, you can buy it from Amazon, you can buy it from Barnes & Noble, and if you go to concussioncrisis.com, you can also read the articles I've been writing for SportsIllustrated.com. You can see all the articles I've been quoted in, because, you know, I mean, now I'm quoted in the New York Times, quoted in ESPN, the magazine on this issue. This is
excellent.
No one else, you know, there's no other athlete that's ever done this kind of work, so, I mean, it's legit, and you can see the reviews I've gotten, all of which have said, if you're a parent or you're a child or you're a coach, you have to read this book. No one said anything else about it, so I hope people at least read those and take a look, because I learned a lot from this injury and from this process. And what I learned is that if you're going to play contact sports, you're really much better off knowing this stuff before you get that concussion rather than after.
With the one book under your belt, do you plan to do anything else in that category?
Absolutely. I'm going to continue writing. I'm continue to get invitations to write more articles. More block. Yeah, I'm working on another one for Sports Illustrated, working on one for New England Hockey Journal. So, I really do enjoy writing, and I'm glad I've kind of found out I was a decent writer after doing this, because I didn't know that in college. It's amazing how these things happen, but
yeah.
I do love writing, so I'll continue to do it as long as someone will read it.
That's great. I intend to get the book, because I was interested to begin with, but after the conversation, I'm even more interested, I think.
Well, there's a lot of wrestling, good wrestling stuff in there, too, and I would want you to look forward to a very fascinating interview with Tommy Dreamer in the last chapter, where Tommy's had one of those guys with 15 concussions.
Wow.
And he talks about how he's a pact with his wife that if he ever ends up like one of these guys, actually talks about with his dad had Parkinson's, he says, if I ever end up like my dad, either his wife's going to have to kill him or he's going to kill himself. So Tommy Dreamer talking about suicide in the last chapter if he ever ends up with one of these neurodegenerative brain diseases.
Wow.
I think the interview has brought a lot of people to tears. So, I don't know. It's an interesting one.
Very serious stuff.
Yeah.
Chris Nowinski here on Wrestling Weekly. Guys, Chris, I want to thank you for being on the show. Running out of time. Guys, enjoy ECW on Sci-Fi. If you are in America on the East Coast, for everybody else, WNL Classics is coming up next on the Showdown Network. Les, we got to run.
Yeah, Chris, it's been a pleasure. And I've done a couple seminars up around Boston. If I get up there again in the future, I'll give you a call. We can do lunch.
I'd love to, Les.
I'd love to see you, my friend,
you
and
too.
The best of luck to you.
Thank you very much. Take care, Doc.
Bye-bye. Guys, right. Check Bye. Us out next week. WrestlingWeekly.com every Tuesday night from 8 to 10. Keep on checking out WrestlingWeekly.com. Find out who our guest is going to be
next week.
Find out who our guest is going to be next week. We are out of here, guys. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.